It's comedy this hour, featuring, oh, so many comedians. Two of our favorites, Bob and Ray, also Abbott and Costello with Who's On First, great for the beginning of the baseball season. Jim Gaffigan, who's thought long and hard about ketchup containers. Victor Borgia, who responds to a request and says, which may be a theme for this hour, he hopes you'll enjoy his piece because if you don't, there's absolutely nothing he can do about it. The Capitol Steps feature a funny piece from Janet Napolitano, someone playing Janet, that is. George Burns and Gracie Allen have a classic on a crazy card game. Paula Poundstone comments on Florida, Texas, stuffed animals, and bugs. Stephen Wright has his enormously funny stream of consciousness. Brian Regan thinks that we need to teach spelling rules differently, and we have all kinds of other comedians as well. We're asking you, we'll have time for a few phone calls this hour. If you have an absolutely splendid joke, we will have time for a couple of your jokes or funny stories this hour as well. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, or you can use our Facebook address as well, and that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Let's put some jokes up there and make everybody happy today. We start with a skit from George Burns and Gracie Allen, where the guys were trying to get out of going to the movies with their wives in favor of seeing a fight. The clip is called Kleebob, the Card Game.
Oh, George.
She's dressing.
Oh, I see it.
We're going to go to the movie and have a nice time at the movie.
The movie, yeah.
Well, genius?
Ixnay.
What do you got cooking?
Listen. We'll tell the girls that we're all invited to Bill Goodwin's house to play a card game called Kleebob. You say,
Kleebob?
Yeah.
How do you play it?
Well, there's no such game. Now, the girls will tell us to play Kleebob. They'll go to a movie. While they're at the movie,
we go to the fights.
The
like
fights.
It very
fights.
Much. I like my idea.
I've yet to come up with a...
Well, if we're going to movies, let's get going.
Oh, look, girls, I just got a phone call from Bill Goodwin, and he wants us to go to his house and play a card game. It's called Kleebob.
Oh, well, then let's go.
Do you know how to play Kleebob?
No. Oh, well, we can learn. Show us. Let's put our things down, Gracie.
Yeah, show us.
Houdini? See you get out of this one.
Harry, we will make up the game that will drive them crazy.
I'm with you.
Get the chance.
Blanche!
Come on, we're going to play cards. Kleebob is a game.
All right.
Okay.
I'll get the...
Don't need this.
Just straighten out the table, darling. Up there. Get Blanche's chair. Now, Blanche, you're going to keep score.
No,
Gracie, you stand back of me.
Oh.
And Ashley, please.
Oh, all right.
That's it.
Keep score. Mark down George and Harry.
George and Harry.
Kleebob, we're playing?
This is a wonderful game.
How many cards?
Harry and George.
Nine
cards. I'm going to do it.
Used to play it in Altoona.
Altoona, remember?
Have you got Harry and George?
I have Harry
Put down
and
Harry
George.
And George.
Nine cards.
Harry and George, you got there?
One, two, three.
We can learn this.
This is a real easy game. Now, Gracie, watch it closely.
Harry and George, you got?
Here we go. Moolah.
Plitch.
Say, you lucky boy, it's your lead.
Five of clubs.
Eight of spades, I dribble. Give me 1,400 points.
1,400 points?
I dribble.
The man dribbled, he gets
1,400. Put down 1,400 points. King of clubs.
The revolving queen. Take off 900 points, Mike.
900.
Have you got the four of diamonds?
Four. No.
Make that 800 points, please.
814.
Right. Nine of clubs.
Five of diamonds.
Three of hearts.
Eight of hearts.
Broadway, give me 2,000 points.
2,000 points?
That's right.
Harry, you're very stupid at this game.
Stupid, am I? All right, George, play around with this. Mumperts.
Mumperts. And in diamonds yet.
Well, it's hard to match.
Well...
No.
deuce of diamonds.
Kleebob. Give me 20,000.
He points. Wins the game. Harry wins.
Oh, now wait just 1 minute. You lose. You renege.
He reneged?
Yes, you forgot to mention the spinning jack.
The spinning jack. Gracie, I'd like to talk to you. Do you know how to play Kleebob?
Yes, it's just like Mogul.
Mogul? What is Mogul?
Well, don't you remember last week when you wanted to go to the ball game? Yeah, you taught me how to play Mogul. Where do you want to go tonight, dear?
To see Gregory Peck. We're going to see a picture show. Let's go to the picture.
Similar to the format of the radio program in which George Burns and Gracie Allen played themselves, the CBS domestic comedy was set in their home, the first TV series to depict the home life of a working show business couple. You're listening to comedy here on the Ideas Network, and we're going to move on to Jim Gaffigan on Ketchup. This is from his King Baby CD that was released in March of 2009. He's known for various routines or skits relating to being a little bit lazy and eating food, especially popular routines, and I know people in my family who know these by heart, regarding Hot Pockets and bacon. Jim Gaffigan.
I do wish I was there when they decided on the size of those ketchup packets. I'm not saying I need a gallon, but maybe enough for more than one fry. I always end up opening 20. I look like a heroin addict. I'm gonna party once I get set up here. Has anyone ever used just one ketchup packet? Do you have a half of a quarter of an ounce of ketchup? It's just so darn rich. I need a resealable packet. One that I could store in my purse. They always give you three packets. When you go back up and ask for more, the guy handing them out always treats you like you're taking from his personal staff. Oh, looks like my kids aren't having ketchup tonight. Enjoy, ketchup glutton. Sometimes printed on the ketchup packet, it'll say not for resale. I didn't know that was an issue. I've been to a lot of flea markets, no ketchup packets. And you know what? If you're in a position where you have to sell ketchup packets, I don't think that's going to hold you back. We need money, maybe we should sell these ketchup packets. Oh, we can't. It says not for resale. Dang it. If you're lucky, you'll get a ketchup packet that's labeled as fancy ketchup. Ketchup, you're being modest. You're way more than fancy, you're elegant. I know it's all relative, but what kind of life are you leading where you consider ketchup fancy? Well, we ain't rich folk, but on special occasions, I'll break out the ketchup. Grandma's birthday, make her feel like a celebrity. Ketchup. Some fast food places, they have that ketchup pump. It's like a keg. They give you the paper shot glass. I always like to hang around there, try and meet the ladies. Here, I'll pump for you. You come to this Wendy's often? My roommate and I, we got a pony pump back in my dorm. Here's an extra shot for your cute friend. How many shots of ketchup do you get? I usually get like three, but if I've had a bad day, I'll get five. My wife thinks I'm trash because I use a lot of ketchup on my sushi. I find it gets rid of the fish flavor. How about those people that don't use ketchup? What are they called again? Al-Qaeda? Ugh. Ketchup. The upside-down bottle of ketchup, have you seen that? Don't you think it's a little embarrassing how long it took us to come up with the upside-down bottle? It was only like 6 months ago. Some guy was like, you know, we only use it like this. Why don't we just put the cap on the bottom? Have people been complaining ketchup is hard to get out of the bottle? For like 100 years. I'll talk to our gravity experts. Ketchup. I never thought I'd miss a bacon joke. Salsa is like the Mexican ketchup. Marinara is the Italian ketchup. And British food is terrible. Actually, vinegar is the British ketchup. How bad is your food when adding vinegar improves it? You know what I use vinegar for? Cleaning windows. The British are our only allies. Why would he be so reckless with his edgy ketchup jokes?
Jim Gaffigan, it's funny how you can make just a whole comedy routine on ketchup. Requires a certain kind of mindset, I guess. He's also appeared in movies. He appeared in two movies that were chosen for the 2001 Sundance Film Festival, Super Troopers and 30 Years to Live. He was a regular cast member of the TBS original sitcom My Boys, and he's set to leave the show during its upcoming fourth season. We've invited you to tell us funny stories or jokes. You can call in if you'd like. We're taking a few of your calls, 800-486-8655. Or you can go to Facebook as well so we can all enjoy your jokes. That's the Kathleen Dunn Show. We got this from Chris in Milwaukee. In the late 70s, I enjoyed being the maitre d' of the Crown Room at the Pfister Hotel. One of our headliners, the comedian Henny Youngman, would daily make a tour through the main lobby saying at the top of his voice, "Call for Mr. Youngman. Call for Mr. Henny Youngman." His self-promotion was priceless. It's a great story. I think that over the years, my favorite comedians have become Bob and Ray. They have such a wealth of material, and it has been found and put on CDs. Some of it is not very funny, but a great majority of it is just very interestingly funny. This is Bob and Ray reaching one lucky person during their radio show, and that lucky person has no idea who they are.
Ray, I have our lucky phone call all ready to dial here.
Oh, you're a sober size today. Well, okay. Let's tear open the envelope.
And our call goes out to Terre Haute, Indiana. Number is...
Number, please.
Terre Haute, Indiana, 238, ring 7. Must be a farmhouse.
Whereabouts, Indiana?
Terre Haute.
Terre Haute, I think. It's none of my business, but I think you're mispronouncing
Holt,
it.
Haute, Hoot.
What was the number again in Terre Haute?
I'll have to look again.
Wait a minute, I think I wrote it down.
347, ring 7, I think, isn't it?
Yes, that'll do. All right. I'll put the call through.
Doesn't make any difference, I promise.
Give me the route, Terre Haute, Indiana, please, will you, operator? Newark, Ohio, ring she down 3. Cleveland Round Derby.
Pronounces it
up
Terre Haute.
Up through New York, over to New England, down. Over there. Thank you.
The operator's getting the number in Terre Haute now, and in a very short time we should be... It's ringing. I can hear it ring out there.
Hello?
Hello, is this Terre Haute 347, ring 7?
Yes, it is.
This is Bob and Ray in New York calling you, sir.
Yes?
You, Mr. Granby H. Frompton?
That's right.
Do you live on a farm, Mr. Frompton?
Yes, I do.
That's what we assumed when we saw that ring 7 number there. This is our lucky phone call.
Mm-hmm.
From the Bob and Ray Show.
It's the Bob and Ray Show, Alice.
He's telling his wife, Alice, that it's the Bob and Ray Show calling from New York.
Well, I don't know who they are.
She's saying she doesn't know who...
She doesn't know who you fellas are. I don't either. What is it all about?
Well, it's a radio program, sir.
It's a radio show, huh?
We make a lucky phone call. What?
I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
And you were selected from our phone books.
Clabbering up for rain.
Fine. You were selected scientifically from our phone lists here in New York City...
That's fine.
...to be called... on today's program.
Certainly appreciate your calling.
All right. Good to talk to you, Mr. Frompton.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So we've made another lucky telephone call, this time to Terre Haute.
That was very good, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, they're so so funny. Bob and Ray and that lucky phone call. And we have a lucky phone call coming in. We're going to take a few of your phone calls with some stories or jokes. Our number is 800-486-8655. And we go to Dave from South Milwaukee. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
Wonderful show. I enjoy your joke programs.
Good. Thanks.
Okay. It's a joke. Young man starts off his career on Wall Street. His parents treat him to a new suit of clothes and some fancy shoes. As he progresses in his career, he has a fabulous career. The shoes wear out, and he thinks, well, I should get them fixed. So he drops the shoes off at the local repair place near where he works on Wall Street. Well, he's got a really good career. He's got lots of suits and lots of shoes now, and he's worked for 30 years, and he's about to retire. On his last day, he thinks, I wonder if I'll fit into my old suit. Sure enough, he does. And he reaches into the breast pocket. There's the claim ticket for the shoes he dropped off 30 years ago.
Huh.
And he thinks, oh, this is just too much. I wonder if the guy's still in business. On the way to work, he stops in at the shoe repair place, pulls off the ticket, lays it on the counter. He says, I'm a little embarrassed to ask, but do you still have these shoes? He says, let me check. Guy shuffles off, goes into the back room, comes back, puts the ticket back on the counter. He says, they'll be ready Thursday.
And you tell it well. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Yeah, thank you. You made a nice contribution. Comedy here this hour, 800-486-8655 is the number on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So many of you have requested this comedian. This is an early stand-up clip of Stephen Wright, who's known for his distinctly lethargic voice and slow deadpan delivery of ironic, philosophical, and sometimes nonsensical jokes and one-liners.
But you have to put your 2 cents in. Went to the hardware store and bought some used paint. It was in the shape of a house. I also bought some batteries, but they weren't included. So I had to buy them again. What do batteries run on? Why is the alphabet in that order? Is it because of that song? Guy who wrote that song wrote everything. Why is it a penny for your thoughts, but you have to put your 2 cents in? Somebody's making a penny. I like to tease my plants when I water them. I water them with ice cubes. I talk to myself a lot. It bothers people, though, because I use a megaphone. Every once in a while, I like to stick my head out my window, look up at the sky, and smile for a satellite picture. It's my birthday recently. For my birthday, I got a humidifier and a dehumidifier. Put them in the same room, let them fight it out. Then I filled my humidifier with wax, now my room's all shiny. I went to a museum where they had all the heads and arms from the statues that are in all the other museums. Trouble going home from there because I had parked my car on a tow-away zone. When I came back, the entire area was gone. So I walked home. Everywhere is walking distance if you have the time. They should iron this. I used to work for the factory where they make hydrants, but you couldn't park anywhere near the place. I used to be a proofreader for a skywriting company. Years ago, I worked in a natural organic health food store in Seattle, Washington, and one day a man walked in and he said, "If I melt dry ice, can I swim without getting wet?" I said, "I don't know. Let me ask Tony."
Stephen Wright, very, very funny guy. We have people calling in with short jokes as well for our comedy hour, and Jerry from Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Hi.
Did you know that women work all the time, but when men work, we have to put up signs alongside the road announcing it? Men working. Hey.
I like it, Jerry. Thanks for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. That alphabet, Stephen went into a whole long thing about a number of different things. When he was talking about the alphabet, it reminded us of an appearance by Sid Caesar on Sesame Street. He was a comic actor who starred on all kinds of programs, Your Show of Shows, Caesar's Hour. He played It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. What a cast this was. Jonathan Winters, Buddy Hackett, Ethel Merman, Don Knotts, and many others. He appeared on Sesame Street bringing forward a Your Show of Shows character called the Professor. And in this particular one, he talks about the alphabet.
A, B, C.
Wait a minute, hold it, wait a minute. What's going on here? What are you saying with all this B, C, B stuff? What are you saying here?
Oh, hi, Professor. I'm just saying my ABCs.
What do you mean ABCs? What's the ABCs?
You know, all the letters. The letters we spell words with.
Oh, you mean the letters? Oh,
yeah.
Do I know letters?
Do you?
Do I? I invented them. Are you kidding?
You did?
Of course. You know the letter A?
Yes.
I invented that. I made that up.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to see how I made it up?
Yeah.
I made like A. See that?
Oh, yeah.
And then I made a L. L is Z. And then I made the letter Yeah, I made that up. But I threw it away because there is no word but the letter in it.
Oh,
I looked all over the dictionary. I couldn't find one in a word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, but if you made up all the letters, you must really know them pretty well.
Are you kidding? You want to hear them?
Yeah.
All the letters. Here goes.
Okay.
Let's see. There's P, and then there's X, and then there's L. On there's B, and then there's, let me see.
Professor? Professor?
Yeah, please. I'm concentrating here. I have to concentrate very hard. I first started with X. X and P.
But
P and X first.
But, Professor, don't you know the alphabet?
There's a lot of letters to remember. The what?
The alphabet. You know, it's a way to say all the letters so you can remember them.
You're kidding.
Yes.
You can remember all of them?
Yeah.
But why didn't they tell me about this before? I mean, I was all mixed up with quantum mechanics and trying to go. I mean, there's a way to go, but
sure.
How does it go?
Oh, I'll tell you.
Yeah, tell me about it. Let's see.
A.
Yeah.
B. C.
That's right.
D.
G.
E.
Bow.
F. G. H. I.
Bow.
J. K.
Yeah.
L.
That.
M.
Yeah.
N.
Yeah.
O. P.
Wow.
Q.
There's more.
R.
Yeah.
S.
How do you like that?
T.
That comes right
U,
after O. And U comes
B,
after B.
W.
And a W.
X.
That's
y,
where X is. Why?
Z.
It's because Z. X because Z. That's fantastic. You said every letter except and there is no so what's the sense? So you said you called the whole
alphabet.
Alphabet.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
I got a great idea. Great idea. You know what they should do? Before they teach quantum mechanics in school, they should teach the alphabet in school. Yes, sir. I'm agreeing with you. Yes, sir, boy. I'm with you. I think they should do that. That's what they got to do in school. I'm going to tell you.
Thanks, Professor.
Sid Caesar appearing on Sesame Street with Big Bird. This is from a performance on The Late Show from March 12, 2003. Mitch Hedberg. He was an American stand-up comedian known for his surreal humor and unconventional delivery. His comedy featured short, sometimes one-line jokes and observational comedy mixed with absurd elements and non sequiturs. He has a cult following. Audience members sometimes shouted out the punchlines to his jokes before he could finish them. He died, unfortunately, of a drug overdose in 2005.
I was going to have my teeth whitened, but then I said, screw that. I'll just get a tan instead. You know what, man? I'm sick of following my dreams. I'm just going to ask where they're going and hook up with them later. I got a nice hotel, you know. I love hotels. I met the girl who works at the front desk of my hotel. She gave me her phone number. It's 0. I tried to call her from here. Some other woman answered. I said, you sound older. I got a lot of vending machines. Yeah, I like it when you reach into the vending machine to grab your candy bar. That flap goes up to block you from reaching up. That's a great invention, man. Before that, it was hard times for the vending machine owner. What candy bar are you getting? That one and everyone on the bottom row? I get the Reese's candy bar. You know, Reese's, if you read that name, Reese's, that's an apostrophe S on there. The candy bar is his, man. I didn't know that. Next time you're eating a Reese's candy bar and a guy named Reese comes by and says, let me have that, you better hand it over. I'm sorry, Reese. I didn't think I would ever run into you. You are a bully, man. I like rice. Rice is great when you're hungry and you want 2,000 of something. All right. Yeah. My mom loves those applause breaks. Refried beans. I like refried beans. That's why I want to try fried beans, because maybe they're just as good and we're wasting time. I went to a pizzeria. I ordered a slice of pizza. The dude gave me the smallest slice possible. If the pizza was a pie chart for what people would do if they found $1 million, this dude gave me the donate to charity slice. I would like to exchange this for the keep it. I tried to walk into Target, but I missed. I think the entrance to Target should have people splattered all around. I was walking by a dry cleaner at 3 a.m. and the sign said, sorry, we're closed. You don't have to be sorry. It's 3 a.m. and you're a dry cleaner. It would be ridiculous for me to expect you to be open. I'm not going to walk in at 10 and say, hey, man, I walked by at 3. You guys were closed. Somebody owes me an apology. I've been working. Hey, that's right. You guys did that for my mom. I've been working at a lot of colleges lately. You know, I perform at the college, and I always buy the shirt from the college because they're quality shirts and they're colorful. But people get the wrong idea, you know. I walk around with a Washington University shirt on. Someone goes, hey, Washington U, did you go there? Yeah. It was a Wednesday. Hey, man, every book is a children's book if the kid can read. All right. Wait now. Hey, man, if you're watching a parade, make sure you stand in one spot. Don't follow it. It never changes. And if you don't like the parade, run in the opposite direction. You will fast forward the parade. I got a parrot. The parrot talked, but it did not say I'm hungry, so it died. I like sandwiches, but I hate sandwiches at New York delis. It's too much meat on the sandwich. It's like a cow with a cracker on either side. What would you like? A pastrami sandwich? Anything else? Yeah, a loaf of bread and some other people? You know, I order the club sandwich all the time, and I'm not even a member, man. I don't know how I get away with it. I like my sandwiches with three pieces of bread. So do I. Well, let's form a club. Okay. But we need some more stipulations. Yes, we do. Instead of cutting the sandwich once, let's cut it again. Yeah, four triangles. Yeah, and in the middle, we shall dump chips. Let me ask you a question. How you feel about frilly toothpicks? I'm for them. Thank you.
Oh, he was funny. Mitch Hedberg, one of our comedians. We're taking some phone calls during the course of our comedy show as well. So if you have a very funny joke, please call with it. The shorter, the better, so we can take more calls. We go to Terry from Spring Valley next. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, it's not real short, but I'll make it as short as I can.
Okay.
A man goes to the doctor, and then during the course of the thing, he says, "I'm worried about my wife." And the doctor says, "What's wrong?" He says, "I think she's going deaf." And he says, "Well, I'm going home and give her a little test." So he goes home, he stands in the living room. She's working in the kitchen, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she's still working in the kitchen at the counter. And so he gets halfway across the living room and says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And nothing. Gets to the door of the kitchen, says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" Still nothing. She's working at the counter. Gets right behind her, says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" She turns around and says, "Chicken for the fourth time?"
She says, "What? I missed the last part."
"Chicken for the fourth time?"
Very funny. Thanks very much. It's our comedy show here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we move on to a classic. Who's on first? Is that one next? Oh, no, it's Phyllis Diller's next. I'm sorry. Who's on first is coming up in a moment. This is a clip of Phyllis discussing her clothes, her age, and being bad in the kitchen. She was born Phyllis Ada Driver in 1917, July 17th, and created a stage persona of a wild-haired, eccentrically dressed housewife who makes jokes about a husband named Fang while smoking from a long cigarette holder. She's credited with opening the doors of stand-up comedy to women.
Listen, I gotta explain what I worry. These are not hot pants. They're lukewarm bloomers. Oh, shoot, what can I tell you? I wore a low-cut gown to a party. The cheese dip turned bad. But you know, I had myself all done up. I got a whole new face. When I told Fang I was gonna have my facelift, he said, "Who'd steal it?" Of course, now I may have to have my body removed. You know, it's still old. Oh, jeez. It gets so dry and brittle. I may not pass on. I may just flake away. You know, when you put your moisturizer cream on, your skin shouldn't go... And of course, last week I had a little grease fire in the kitchen. Oh, it was in the sink, actually. Got a greasy sink. I have watched bugs slide to their death. In my sink, it's learned to skate or die. And the firemen were there. Three firemen were treated for food inhalation.
Phyllis Diller, you're listening to comedy on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Will you keep quiet, Sebastian?
Excuse me, please.
Sebastian, please. Don't interrupt my act. Sebastian!
Well, Mr. Blowhurst, I didn't see the lights there. I forgot about them.
What in the world are you doing? Why interrupt my act like this?
Well, look, Mr. Blowhurst, I mean, after all, if you're in a ballpark, they always sell peanuts and popcorns and things like that.
I know that, Sebastian, but not in front of them. I beg your pardon, friend.
Ladies and please. Gentlemen, and also the children, will you excuse me for a minute, please?
Thank you. What do you want to do?
Look, Mr. Blowhurst.
Right. What are you doing?
I love baseball.
Well, we all love baseball.
When we get to St. Louis, will you tell me the guys' names on the team so I go to see them in that St. Louis ballpark? I'll be able to know those fellas.
Well, now, is it all right, folks? All right.
Excuse me, I want to find out the fellas' names.
As long as it's okay with the audience.
I'm crazy about baseball.
Will you stand still? Pick up your hat. Go pick up your hat.
Okay.
Now, look. Then you'll go and peddle your popcorn and don't interrupt the act anymore?
Yes, sir.
All right. But you know, strange as it may seem, they give ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
Funny names?
Nicknames, pet names.
Not as funny as my name, Sebastian Dinwiddie.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Funnier than that?
Oh, absolutely. Whee! Yes. Now, on the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Do you know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellas' name on first base.
Who?
The fellow playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a first baseman on first?
Certainly.
Then who's playing first?
Absolutely.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Why shouldn't he? Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. After all, the man earns it.
Who does?
Absolutely.
Well, all I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no, no. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy.
What's the guy's name on first base?
What's the guy's name on second base?
I am not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking about him.
How did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Stay off of first, will you?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Now, what's the guy's name on third base?
Well, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again.
Well, I can't change their names.
Will you please stay on third base, Mr. Broadhurst?
Please, now, what is it you want to know?
What is the fella's name on third base?
What is the fella's name on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. You got an outfield?
Oh, sure.
St. Louis has got a good outfield?
Absolutely.
The left fielder's name?
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
Stay out of the infield. Well,
don't mention their names out here.
I want to know what's the fellow's name in left field.
What is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base.
Oh, take it easy. Take it easy, man.
And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. He's center. Will you pick up your hat, Fees? Pick up your hat and stop this. Oh, look, please.
Mr. Broadhurst.
Yes.
Wait a minute. You got a pitcher on the team?
Wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
I don't know. Tell me the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me the date?
I'm telling you, man.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you're going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen. Who is not pitching? Who is on?
I'll break your arm. You say who's on first?
Why come up here and ask?
I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. You got a catcher?
Yes.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
That's all. St. Louis has got a couple of days on the team.
Well, I can't help that. All right. What do you want me to do?
Got a catcher?
Yes.
I'm a good catcher, too, you know.
I know that.
I would like to play for the St. Louis team.
Well, I might arrange that.
I would like to catch. Now, I'm being a good catcher. Tomorrow's pitching on the team, and I'm catching.
Yes.
Tomorrow throws the ball, and the guy up bunts the ball.
Yes.
Now, when he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out at first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw it to first base.
Yeah.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Who hasn't?
Naturally.
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 Okay.
Now, you've got it.
I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
I know, you don't. You throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
Okay.
All right.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw it to who?
Naturally.
Well, that's it. Say it that way.
That's what I said.
You did not.
I said I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw it to who?
Naturally.
Yes.
So I throw the ball to first base and naturally gets
it. No, you throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying that.
Excuse me, folks.
All right, I'm sorry, friend.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
Actually, well, say it that way.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't get excited. Now, don't get excited.
I throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
He better get it.
All right, now don't get excited. Take it easy.
Now, I throw the ball to first base. Whoever it is drops the ball so the guy runs a second.
Mm-hmm.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it? I don't know. I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. A triple play.
Yeah, it could be.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't care.
What was that?
I said, I don't care.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Abbott and Costello, that one will be around forever. Who's on first? We're taking some of your phone calls as well with your funny stories or jokes. Dick from Waukesha is with us now. Hi, Dick.
Well, what an act to follow.
Yeah, it is an act to follow,
well,
isn't it?
This is a real story. It happened in my family way back in the late 1800s, or my grandpa, early 1900s, maybe. They lived in a little hamlet in Massachusetts, South Amherst. And they'd been to probably a church social and had good food. And then when they got home, the family, five girls and a boy, you know, somebody asked him, well, how'd you like the food, Dad? Well, he said the fruit was great, the coffee was great, the bread was terrific, the covered dishes were wonderful, the desserts, the pies or cakes or brownies, and all those were delicious, but the rooster who walked through that chicken soup must have been wearing rubber boots.
Oh, gee. Thank you, Dick. We're taking some of your phone calls with funny stories or jokes. This is a clip now from Paula Poundstone's first one-hour HBO special, Cats, Cops, and Stuff. It made her the first woman to ever receive the Cable Ace for Best Stand-Up Comedy. She talks about states and bugs.
You know where it's really a yucky state is Florida. Yes. Boy, that's a yucky state. Honest to God, it is. Everything about it's just yucky. I just don't like it. Even the way it hangs down like that, just yucky. I always wish a boat would hit it, would skitter off in the ocean. I'm kidding. I like it okay there. Actually, Texas, I've kind of come to love, really. It's sort of a strange state, you know? Every time I go there, I buy another pair of cowboy boots, and I never even want them till I get there. It's sort of weird that way. Kind of just gets into you, you know? We flew over the state line. I developed an unnatural boot need. I went into a store that normally I would hate. Had big heads of animals up on the wall. Usually I would hate that. This time I was like, let's shoot them again. And the boots that I got, they're part lizard skin and part calf skin, so I hurt as many animals as I possibly could to get the footwear. And then I said, do you have anything in kittens at all? Maybe just like a slipper with a head right there. Well, that's my whole point, is that I'm not at all like that. I love cats. Yeah. Florida's weird, though. Every time I go there, by the time I get my suitcase from the airport to the hotel, there's a big old Florida bug on it. They got some huge bugs down there, too. I mean, big bugs, a big old welcome to Florida sign. I always have to get a little piece of toilet paper, smunch that bug, and throw it in the toilet. You know, I think they should have like a toilet paper shortage from there where they've had to get a piece of toilet paper, smunch a bug, throw it in the toilet. I told that to the audience there. They said, use a brick. I said, well, that would clog your toilet. Anyways, I'm not dropping a brick on a Florida bug. Drop a brick on a Florida bug, and in a second, that brick will start to move. And then the bug has a weapon. You gotta lie to it. You gotta go, it was an accident. I was building your house and it slipped, I swear. You know what, though? I get ants in my apartment here. I can't get rid of the ants. Do you guys have that? It is the weirdest thing, because I don't even keep food in my apartment. And every time I come here, I spray for ants. And when I leave again, I spray for ants. I can't figure out what they're doing in there. To me, this is poor ant leadership. You'd think the head ant would turn to the others and go, you know, fellas, there's no food in there, and many of us have been killed. What do you say we go someplace else? I came back in New Year's, there was a virtual freeway of ants going into my medicine cabinet. I opened the medicine cabinet, they had found one throat lozenge. An entire community of ants on one throat lozenge. Apparently they had had a little cough.
Comedian Paula Poundstone on our comedy program. Clip now of the world-famous Danish entertainer performing live. Victor Borge was a humorist and a world-class pianist known as the Great Dane and the Clown Prince of Denmark. He was born in Copenhagen in 1909, educated at the Royal Danish Academy of Music. In the 30s, became one of Denmark's greatest musicians, starting out as a classical pianist. He moved to America in 1940, translated his jokes for the American audience, and had his first performance in the States in 1941 in Bing Crosby's radio program. That's quite a story, isn't it? Here's Victor Borge.
I have a request. I usually do not do request numbers. Unless, of course, I have been asked to do so. And that has happened. I have a request from a lady who called me at the hotel. She said, Mr. Boogie, would you be kind enough to play? And then she couldn't remember the title of the thing she wanted to hear. So I said, perhaps you could hum it or sing it for me. And if I know it, I will play it. And she said, well, I can't remember how it goes. And then she said, you're the musician. You ought to know the piece. I said, I'm sorry, I can't help you in this instance. And then she said, it really doesn't matter because I'm not going to be there tonight. So now I'm going to play something else. I'm going to play a little piece by a Danish composer, Mozart. Hans Christian Mozart. As you know, or many of you know, Mozart was only from here up. You have seen replicas of Mozart, of course. Mozart was what we call a bust. And stood on many pianos and in windows and things. And the scholars insist that in spite of that physical handicap, Mozart was fairly happily married. But Mrs. Mozart wasn't. He went all the way to the floor. I'm going to play a composition he wrote in four flats because he had to move three times. Yeah. He never stayed long enough in any of them to finish this piece. And this is called a bagatelle, and it's in the key of C. But who cares? I hope you will enjoy it. And if you don't, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. No, three petals, they only have 2 feet. Mozart, Bagatelle in the key of C. Now, where the heck is C? You didn't mark the C.
Victor Borge, an inventive and funny guy from many years ago. That'll do it for our comedy show for what season are we in? Spring? For spring. We'll try and do summer. Yeah, we don't get around to it all the time, but we'll try to do it because we always have so much fun with these. We should do a joke a day, too. I think that would be a good way to... We can't always because our shows aren't always funny or lend themselves to that. But we could do it on Facebook. If you got a joke, put it on the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook. We would love to continue our laughter. Thanks so much to Rhonda Fanning for lots and lots of producing on this program, to Chrissy Peace for on-air production and her help with production, and for all of your calls for our comedy program. News is coming up in many more hours of great conversation. Tell some jokes today.